Well, unfortunately, this year's Giro d'Italia came to a bad end for Dan Martin yesterday when he suffered a serious crash in the opening stage in Belfast. It's another example of how professional cyclists put life and limb on the line every time they race. We're joined now by two men who know all about the reality of that professional life in the saddle. Anthony Walsh, who has quit the game after spending 12 months on the US circuit, and Lawrence Roach, whose cycling career came to an end back in 1992. Lawrence, first to you. Dan Martin, of course, is your nephew. How's he doing?
I haven't got to speak to him yet, but he's after breaking his collarbone in a crash yesterday in the team time trial. And it's, I think his ego's hurt as well, but and he's very disappointed over being out on the first stage. I was talking to my mother earlier on this morning, so he seems a bit down over it, but it's just part of the job, isn't it?
Something that cyclists are they ever really mentally prepared for that kind of a shock to the system?
It's something you don't think about. It's one of those things that happens all the time. Like, I broke my collarbone and broke my arm racing years ago. It's something you don't think about. If you do, you're going to be more nervous. And if you're nervous, you're going to make mistakes. And if you make mistakes, you're going to crash. So you just don't think about it. Just think about trying to get to the finish or trying to win the race or do whatever you have to do. But it's one of those things you try to keep out of your mind. Otherwise, it's just...
Well, hopefully he'll bounce back. Anthony, when I think of cycling, I think of it as an incredibly tough sport. But what was it like as a job? You were a professional on the US circuit.
Yeah, so I went to the US circuit last year, and I guess I probably went with sort of a dream like every cyclist does when they go over, and maybe the reality of it didn't really line up with the dream when I went. It was a lot of travelling. The life was really just travel one race to the other, and I guess just logistically the US being so big, and I was on a team with quite a low budget, so we didn't fly probably as often as we should. So we had 4 or 5 day journeys in the car, and you know, living quite a modest lifestyle. From
what would you call modest now? How tough was that?
Modest was a lot tougher the year before in France than it was in the US. I guess fast food very available in the US and it's cheaper, but you know, you're living dry pasta, dry rice a lot of the time, and
because you don't have the money for a better diet, you don't have... How much money would you make?
Exactly. The year before in France, I was only on... Me and Lawrence were actually just talking about this in the waiting room. I was getting €50 a week the year before in France. And, you know, a couple of bad choices early in the week. Or I remember weeks where I actually crashed in the race and you'd have the choice whether should I save the money and buy some, you know, decent food later in the week, or I'll buy some bandages and antiseptic cream here. So... We had weeks where it was the dry rice for the second half of the week.
A number of years earlier, Lawrence, was your experience in France similar? The whole idea is in the sport is to get to France and try to get a professional contract, isn't it? But it's very difficult.
It is very difficult. There's so many riders from all over the world head to France because that's really where the main teams are. The main focus of teams is kind of they're looking at big races in France. So amateurs here in Ireland or England or Germany, Russia, people go to France to basically ride these races. And as a result, the races are really, really tough and really competitive. And so if you win those races or if you're consistently up there getting placed, then the professional teams will see you and hopefully offer you a career. But it's a tough going, but it's a great lifestyle. It is great. It's very tough, but it's very, very good.
In the early days when you won your first race, how much money would you have been earning, or how were you living at that stage?
Well, when I was when I won my first race over in France, the race was only about 100 pounds at the time, was about 120 euros or so, and but that was really it. The team wouldn't. I wasn't getting paid by the team at the time. That was an amateur team I was with, so you weren't getting paid. You'd go over there and they'd say, "Well, we'll give you your accommodation free," and I would have worked before I went away to France to try and become professional. I worked here and to try and save up the money so I'd have enough food for myself. So when I'm over there, it was basically down to survive on the money I had. And when you start to run out, make sure you win a race or get up there. It was a great incentive.
So you were on the fast food, were you, as well? Or could you afford the fast food?
No, I was probably old style, kind of old, I was quite disciplined like that. Fast food, I wasn't going to win a race on fast food. So you just try to keep it on the low fat food, like, you know, and try and keep the weight down, because in cycling, you need to kind of, it's a lot of it's down to body fat and having to drag whatever weight you have over a hill. And if the less you have, it's the better it is to get over the hills.
But it's a bit like an apprenticeship in France, isn't it? That you come in and you've got to do a few menial jobs as well before you can become one of the big professionals.
Yeah, well, as a professional, yes. When you're taking on as a professional cyclist in a team, generally there was obviously going to be a team leader. Someone, say for example, like Stephen Roach or Sean Kelly would have been the team leaders. So my job as a new professional will be come in and try and learn the ropes and help them to get to the finishes as fresh as possible. So for example, Stephen will be very good in climb, so get to the last climb. My job is to try and make sure he gets to that last climb as fresh as possible. So my job would be, during the day, if the wind is coming from the left or from the right, I try and shelter him from the wind if he wanted to move around the bunch, or if he needed a drink, an extra bottle or food, I'd go to the back of the group and then put up my hand, and the team car would come back to me, and they give me whatever I was looking for, and I'd bring it up to Stephen. So there's no point in us all trying to get to the finish and arrive in the top 10.
So everybody's better off together. Yeah, there's a hierarchy essentially.
Yeah, so try and get one of us to win at least.
Anthony, on the US circuit, they tend to race around towns and cities more than in France, where they race, you know, in the countryside. That can be dangerous. You had a bad crash yourself.
Yeah, so I guess the way the US racing is set up, it's very sponsor orientated. So for return on investment for sponsors, it makes a lot of sense to have quite small races, narrow races around housing estates, around city centres. So the equivalent to be kind of like racing around Temple Bar. So it's great exposure because the fans line the circuit and the sponsors get a lot of exposure. So the racing scene's developed like that in the US. That's great for sponsors. It's great for spectators. It's, you know, great for the teams because they get great exposure. But again, it's very dangerous for riders because it's close proximity racing, and most
your career ended very quickly.
Yeah, so it was probably a choice where I had a couple of crashes last season, but I remember one early season. It was March or April. And I was racing in Delray Beach, and that was a Friday night race, and I think it started at about 10 p.m. So it was pretty dark when it started, and it was spring break in Delray Beach, so you can imagine that's crazy. Anyway, so it was a downtown race, and you know the streets are lined with people, kids are drinking beer, and yeah, so I had a crash on a cobbled corner in the dark where there was a bit of beer spilt in the corner, and I went down. A couple of guys went down in front of me, and I hit them, and I broke a collarbone.
Lawrence, your career ended. It was more about the team and the sponsorship of the team rather than an accident as such.
Yeah, I was only 23 at the time. I just finished the Tour de France, and we'd organised our contract for the following year for 1992. And the team said, yes, we're going ahead for next year. And we'd agreed our contract, but we hadn't signed one. And towards the end of the year, then they came along and said, well, sorry, lads, we haven't got a sponsor for next year, so we're the team is folding up. And at that stage, there was a kind of recession in Europe. The teams were either folding up or reducing their size, so I found it difficult to get another sponsor for the following year. And that was it. Career was over.
And that was it. So you were back home, and you go from the Tour de France to trying to find a job.
Exactly. Yeah. Like I came home, and you know, there was people when I was riding the Tour de France, it was kind of people with their arm around you saying, "No, this is great. Well, if you ever back in Ireland, you gotta look me up." So January came, and I was back in Ireland, no job, and I was starting looking them up, and they weren't to be. Oh, you know, remember that job I was talking about? It's not around at the moment, and ended up. July 1991, riding the Tour de France and nearly having a cramp in my hand from signing autographs. And the following July, I was working as a security guard.
Well, I tell you, it's given me a whole newfound respect, not just for the guys at the front of these races, but the professionals right through the middle and on the circuit. Anthony Walsh and Lawrence Roach, thanks very much for joining me on the programme. That's all we have time for this week. You can listen back to the programme or download a podcast on our webpage, rte.ie/thebusiness, or you can go to the RTE Radio Player on rte.ie/radio. Don't forget to tune in to Dragon's Den tomorrow night at 9:30, where we'll be hearing from some university entrepreneurs. We leave you with a take on that famous Wolf of Wall Street mantra. But until next week, many thanks for listening. Bye bye.
The Business on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Electric Ireland, providing excellent customer service for our growing SME sector.
And The Business, presented by Richard Curran, is an Old Yard production for RTE Radio 1.